Well, if you don't believe God has a sense of humor, then you should believe in it this week, because surely in heaven, he turned to one of the angels and he said, "Watch this. I'll give the southerners some ice and snow sprinkled in with some northerners that can laugh at them." It was entertainment last week. I do want you to know something before I pray for us, though. Kevin and I have lived here since 1991, and that's the longest and the largest accumulation of snow that we've witnessed in person in Savannah. So I felt like it was time to ask the obvious question. God, what are you up to? I mean, really, what are you up to, God? The sense of humor thing, laughed about a little bit. And here's what I felt like he said to me. Dane, I'm setting the stage for a new year that says a lot of people have plans, and they have schemed, and they have plotted, and they have thoughts of what they're going to do, what they're not going to do. But I'm going to show them that at the flick of my little finger, I can disrupt anything because it's all under my control. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. As a matter of fact, I grew up in the stuff, and Kelly had to go to work Thursday morning. So I thought I'd go out with her. I was going to come down here and check on the building. We got to Kroger by Abercorn. We got some gas. I was like, I'm going back home. It's time to get out of here. It's too much ice and snow. Not only did some people maybe struggle, I admit that everybody that I was driving around, they were being wise, taking it careful, being cautious. But in a moment, God displayed His sovereignty under my control. Nothing happens without my knowledge, without my plan being executed. It's January the 7th, 2018. How's life going? New opportunities, new obstacles, new challenges. Same old problems, same old challenges, same old obstacles. New blessings. Trying to figure out how to be a good steward of those blessings. I think this morning we need a handle on something that God is willing to impart to us. It's a basic thing. We kind of, I think, mentioned it in passing, though, instead of making it part of who God really is. And that is wisdom. So let's pray. Father, I thank You today for Your protection over so many people in this week of uncertainty. Lord, some were out by choice, and some were out by mandate. But God, I thank You, Lord, that You and I, it's personal today. And it'll be personal tomorrow because it was personal yesterday. And God, just because we don't always acknowledge that, it doesn't change it. It's a truth. It's a reality. And God, I pray today, as we embrace You, the person, we'll embrace the truth. And You are the truth. God, give us some revelation today. Give us understanding. God, I pray today, instead of seeing what's in front of us that's overwhelming us, that God, we catch a glimpse of You and who You really are. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, the title of today's message is God and Wisdom. Need them for the new year? You should say a resounding yes. Yes. I need it. You need it. There are situations that you are already aware of, and there are situations that you are not aware of, because that's me too, that I know that I'm going to need God's wisdom. I'm going to need God to show me some things, the how-tos, the what to do, what not to do. To protect me, to guide and direct me. And I believe this new year, something that we need to make very personal is God is a dispenser of wisdom. Did you know that? That God says, I'm not going to hold back if you're willing to ask, if you're willing to walk, if you're willing to understand something today. So as we look at point number one, I got a little quote there for you to begin with. Someone once said that knowledge is the ability to take things apart, as well as 3- and 4-year-olds. But wisdom is the ability to put things together. That's why I would ask you to consider some things this morning. Very simple, very simple. As where are there some things in your life that's just causing you to scratch your head? A little confusion, a little chaos. You know, God never imparts to us chaos and confusion. He imparts to us a plan and steps to execute that plan. Because it says in His words, man makes the plans of man are many, but God ordains the steps. But how do we go about taking those steps? And I just want to give you one thing today, as the topic is wisdom. And the beginning point, I believe, is something like this. It says in Proverbs 9:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Wisdom has a beginning. It's the fear of the Lord. Now, if I didn't talk to you about anything today and I just said, go home and try to execute Proverbs 9:10, I believe you would see a change in your life. Now, the people around you may not change a whole lot, and maybe the situation may not change a whole lot, but I believe you would take on a new perspective because you would put God in His proper place. You see, when it says the fear of the Lord, it's really talking about a reverent awe. Are you in awe of God anymore? I mean, really, are you in awe of God anymore? And you understand that there's a Holy One that wants you to put Him in a proper place. So you see, we don't get wisdom without getting Him. And I believe that sometimes we struggle with our own knowledge, with our own how-tos, and then say, God, come on over here and bless my smarts, instead of saying, God, give me the wisdom, because I am in awe of You. That I understand that You see it all, that You know it all. And that's part of this putting things together. In fact, this is not necessarily a biblical definition, but Dane's definition of wisdom that I'd encourage you to ponder on a little bit today is that, if God's wisdom, I think, is divine revelation. I believe it's God imparting His ways and His thoughts and His understanding of situations, of life. And He desires for us to have that because He desires for us to be close to Him, correct? So if wisdom has a beginning, it begins with the fear of the Lord, putting Him in His proper place, the awe, the reverence of God Almighty, that He is not out of control. Your life may feel that way, but He's not that way. And that as life becomes the grind and becomes the day-to-day activity, and you're just going from day to day to day, from morning to night, and life just seems to just kind of fade away without purpose or meaning, it's time to stop and ask yourself, so where have I placed God in my life? Because I can guarantee you something. This is you can take this 100% guarantee. If God isn't in the proper place in your life, then I can assure you that not much else in your life will be in any different place than it is right now. I can assure you that if you're not in awe of fear of Him, then wisdom will be hard to come by. So wisdom does have a beginning, and it's the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. This is not talking about man's understanding. This is talking about supernatural, spiritual understanding. How many times in your life, some of us have been around for decades, you've asked God this question, why? Why? Change the question. God, give me wisdom to understand who You are and how You're working. God, give me revelation. God, give me understanding of who You are so I can come to a peace that I can embrace the fact that You really are in this situation and that You're working and that You're moving. Change the question. Number two, John. Wisdom needs to be sought. It says in Proverbs 4:5-9, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget My words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, though it costs all you have. Get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and a present, and present you with a glorious crown. I'm just going to summarize verses 8 and 9 for you, because you may have some flowery picture of that, and it is kind of a flowery picture, but you don't understand. Here's what God's saying through the writer of Proverbs, through King Solomon. If you get understanding and you get wisdom, then I'm going to do things in your life that says, come close. To honor Him means He brings you close to Him. So God is saying, He's not saying that I'm going to make life easy. He's saying, I'm going to show how close I am to you. But you got to get it. When it's telling us in that Scripture to get wisdom, to get understanding, the beginning point is, do you want wisdom? Do you really want God and the wisdom that He gives, do you really want Him to begin to give you a biblical perspective of what godly wisdom really is? It doesn't say, sit down, pop some popcorn, kick back in the easy chair, and I'm going to shoot darts down from heaven. Sometimes you just got to get hungry. Sometimes you got to have some want that goes down to the belly that you really want it. Wisdom must be sought. Heard a story last week. It's kind of one of those legend stories, but kind of like Dusty's story, I'll tell it for the truth. Okay? It's always good to work you in. That in the 1800s, close to the Alps, there was a group of people that lived in the lowlands, and there was a group of people that lived in the mountains, and they never crossed paths. So the people that lived in the lowlands didn't know how to go up into the mountains, but the mountain people could come down. Mountain people sent down their warring party one day to fight the lowland people. And during the middle of the battle, the mountain people stole a baby, stole a young child, took them back up in the mountains. The lowland people realized that, hey, we can't have this. We cannot have this. We got to go into the mountains. So they picked out a few of their strongest, bravest, smartest guys, and they said, we'll go in those mountains and we'll get him back. And so they went into the mountains. They had never climbed mountains before. Didn't know what they were really doing. After a day or so, they'd only made it a few hundred feet. They were tired, they were exhausted, they were weary. And they asked this question amongst their group. They said, is this child that's not our own really worth it? About that time, you know who started coming down the mountain? A woman carrying a small child. Passed by the group of warriors, those brave and smart, awesome men that were so honorable to go up a mountain but were so easily to give in. When she came to the group of men carrying the small child that had been kidnapped from the lowlands by the mountain people, the group of warriors turned to the woman and said, how did you climb those mountains and get that child back by yourself and accomplish all that when it was so hard and we couldn't get any further? She simply looked at them and said, because it's not your baby. Until you want it so bad down in your gut, then those will just be words on a page. That's all they'll ever be. They'll be something to quote to bring some facade of comfort to yourself and not embracing that wisdom must be sought. This new year, quit making wisdom optional, but allow it to be a part of what God is embracing in you. The book of Isaiah says the spirit of wisdom, it's part of who God is. So when I'm telling you, you don't get one without the other, there's the embracing of a truth. Get it, want it, long for it. And number three, John, wisdom is needed in all areas of our lives. Count it all joy, the brother James says, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Wisdom is needed in all areas of our lives. I would encourage you to understand that when you ask God for wisdom, it's readily available, but you don't have to wait for a trial, a problem, an obstacle to ask for it. As a matter of fact, when Solomon became king, before ever a problem arose, God said, what do you need from me? Do you want riches? You want long life? You want me to just kill all your enemies? And Solomon, I believe, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said, I need to ask for the thing that gives me a perspective on how to be faithful with all of it. Can I tell you something, brothers and sisters, in the year 2018, God may have obstacles in your life, but He wants you to see that you can be faithful with the challenge. That you can be faithful, that you can count on Him to come through and give you wisdom and how to see it. Do you give up? Do you change course? Do you persevere through? You know, without wisdom, we're prone to making mistakes because then we start to question. We start to wonder. We start to become confused. We start to not be really sure. But as we see wisdom is needed in all areas of our lives, we can see it that the brother James says in his book, stay the course and ask God to show you from His perspective. And we have to sometimes dig in. We have to dig into His Word. It's one of the ways to understand it. We have to embrace the body because we don't have all the answers and we need people to speak for God to us about matters that we're not really sure about. But wisdom is needed in all areas. In fact, I challenge you with something today. What if you did take the time and say, God, I need wisdom to be a husband, a mom. I need to be wisdom in my job. I need to be wise with my finances. God, I want you to help me to be wise with all my resources. What if instead of waiting for something to hit you, you were proactive and said, God, give me wisdom with these things. I know, God, that you really do understand all the nuances of it. You know the ramifications. You see, so often we don't do a very good job of living in the now, but unfortunately we make quick decisions in the now. We get our feelings and our emotions lead us down very destructive paths sometimes. But allowing God to give us wisdom helps with that. It gives us something that we can count on to be truthful and real and is done out of love. So this year, as life carries on, wisdom in all areas of our lives, I believe, is desperately needed. Desperately needed. But I want you to understand that James tells us, be excited when the challenges arrive and watch how God can make you steadfast because He's dispensing Himself in these situations. He is embracing you and right there with you. You know one of the things that's so tough? We like to quote Psalm 23. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your rod and your staff, you comfort me. You know what wisdom helps us do? Stay in the valley. Because God doesn't say, I'm going to give you wisdom so you can avoid it all the time. We look at the valley and say, man, that's tough. I think I'm going to figure out a way to avoid it. God's saying, you need wisdom how to get through it. And I'm willing to dispense that. So wisdom is needed in all areas of our life. And number four, John, wisdom is given to us for the purposes of God. Two scriptures, Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. It's very hard, very difficult to embrace what God is offering if we think we already got it figured out. It's very hard to receive what God is offering when we believe we're the smartest person in the room. And the fact is why I know that most of us would never actually think that about ourselves so often. As soon as we see an obstacle, a problem, a difficulty, isn't it quick? Our first reaction is I got to figure it out. I got to know how to do it. I got to come up with some plan. Instead of hitting our knees and saying, God, honest to goodness, I think I got some thoughts, but I need you to unfold this before me. Give me wisdom in the situation. So humility and being humble before Him. And then it says in Proverbs 2:1-5, my son and daughter, if you accept my word and store up my commands with you, and you turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Wisdom is given to us for the purposes of God. This year, what faces you, God can use? What opportunities, what blessings? God is ready to use you and them. Wisdom is given for the purposes of God. Remember that thing about divine revelation that I was telling you? Let's be proactive in seeking God for that wisdom. Let's be hungry for those things. Because I want you to think about something for just a second. How many people look to you on a daily basis to be wise in your decision making? How many people look to you on a regular basis to be wise with the blessings that God has given to you? So wisdom really is given for the purposes of God. As God unfolds this year before you, allowing Him to speak to you about the things on your heart, they're never going to overwhelm God. And I know you know that. But I want you to take away this morning that there's something so real and so practical and so daily that God says, I want to impart something to you today. Me and the wisdom I'm willing to give. John Piper says this, wisdom in the Bible is knowing the greatest goal in any situation and the best way to achieve that goal. God knows the end before you know the beginning. And because He knows both ends of the spectrum, He knows in the middle. And in the middle is in the formation of being Christ-like. So when you're seeing yourself growing, as you see yourself and going through life, and you're going through the routine of life, I'd encourage you to think about something. Wisdom is given for the purposes of God. The ultimate purpose is to be just like Jesus. To be just like Jesus. And I believe one of the ultimate displays of Jesus being wise is simply this. When He said, I do exactly what I see my Father doing. I don't do anything unless I see Him doing it. Because that meant it was on display for Him to observe. God imparted wisdom to our Savior to live a life of holiness, to live a life that pleased God. So wisdom is given to us to live a life of holiness, to please God, to offer ourselves to Him. Do you really want wisdom this morning? Do you really want January the 7th, 2018? Do you want to begin a journey that says, I'm not going to show up on January the 7th, 2019 and say the same things, have the same problems, and see life the same? That I want to embrace what God is doing in my life, and I want to embrace what He is offering this morning in wisdom? John, some questions for us. You put them all up, John. How intentionally are you seeking God in this new year? Are you willing or unwilling to seek God for wisdom this new year? And if you are not seeking God's wisdom, then how do you expect to grow and help others grow? Simple question for you. If I had you write down your to-do list for the coming week, how long would it really be? But my follow-up question would be this. On that to-do list, what's going to last into eternity? What's really going to matter? What's going to really matter? What's really going to last? Because you see, wisdom from God says we're doing the things that matter and the things that last. The words you speak, the attitude you have, the actions you do. The wisdom from God imparts revelation that says you're going to do the things that last, the things that I want to see last. So you need to think about those questions this morning as we get ready to open the altar. And James, you can come on down if you want to. As we get ready to spend some time embracing and mulling over what God has been saying to us. This is done out of love. This is done out of care. This is done out of a desperation to be close to you and to I. Are we as desperate for Him as He is for us this morning? Because we do serve a living and holy God. Ask, seek, be humble. Allow it to be in all areas of your life. Don't be in the struggle against yourself. Submit yourself to the powerful presence and love of God this morning. Let's pray. These next few quiet moments, if you have your cards with you, you can fill out those prayer requests. Just want you to think about it. What has God been speaking to you? What has God been showing you? Well, I believe today one of the things is giving us a new perspective. God, I thank You today for being patient with us. God, I thank You today for Your merciful hand. God, I thank You today for Your willingness to give us wisdom. We desperately need You. We desperately need it. And God, I'm thankful we can't get one without the other. God, I pray that we will not try to fool ourselves. We will not try to run ahead of You or outsmart You, because it's not possible. Father, I would ask that You would help us to do something today, and that is fall in love with You. Just You. Because God, it's so easy to say standing here before my brothers and sisters to You. But if all I ever knew was how much You love me, it really would be enough. But You give me so much more. I am so blessed. Thank You. Father, continue to speak to us now. Stir in our hearts. The altar is open. Dusty and Rick and we'll be down front. You need somebody to pray with about matters of the heart. You can bring your cards in your envelopes. I'd encourage you as you sit there, though, to worship. To worship. The name of Gary and Lynn's granddaughter is Penelope Corinne Woods. I know James alluded to they're in Nashville. But proud parent. We serve a God of life.
Okay. I just want to tell everyone that Christmas Eve, we brought friends here that hadn't been to church in at least 30 years. And when they said they were coming for Christmas. We said, well, we go to church. And they said, okay. So they were very nervous about it. Really, the woman almost didn't come. She has anxiety. And I thought, okay, they're going to back out. But they came. And I want to tell you as a body that they could not stop talking about this church. They couldn't stop talking about Dusty and Dane and Rick and how each of them treated them and greeted them and how you all did. And then during the service, they were crying, and Mary leaned over and she said, oh, these songs. She said, they, you know, I sang them a long time ago. And I mean, for the next 2 days, that's all they talked about was this church and coming here. And well, if we knew we could find a church like that, we would go to church. And but we never thought about driving such a long way to go to church. And and they called their daughter, who lives in upstate New York, Christmas Eve, and that was the first thing that they said to her was, we went to church, and it was beautiful, and it was wonderful. So I just want to thank you all, and we are the representation of Christ on earth, and we made a difference, and I believe that it's going to stir something in them to keep going to church.
Thank you for your faithfulness to invite. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord, we do give you all the glory and the honor, and Lord, their name, Joel and Marilyn's friends, their name is Legion, but they're in front of us. And they're not somebody else's problem. They're not somebody else's challenge. They're right in front of us because you've loved us enough to put them in proximity to them. And we say praise you for that opportunity. May we be good stewards and be faithful with the details. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys.